saved. In verse 13, it says, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear if someone doesn't go and tell them? And that is the need for all of us as First Baptists. Whatever we do, whether it's this capital campaign, whether it's community fall festival, whether it's a Bible study on Sunday morning, whether it's Bible studies during the week, whether it's going out to refresh and being part of a school, back to school event, whether it's our church family going to some particular schools in our area and blessing the teachers, it's all about the need of humanity that they're lost, and there's an answer for their lostness. There's an answer for their hopelessness. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is what we are about.
Amen.
Oh, second thing, the next. The future generation. There's a posterity. Verse 30. Future generations. We have to understand that everything we do, we need to keep in mind, we live in a society and in a culture, we get so consumed with what is happening today. Do we not?
Amen.
We have a generation that lives for the moment. Let me explain it to you this way. Back when I was a kid, generally what would happen, a man or woman, they'd find a job at a place that they would be loyal to. They'd work there till they retired. Even if they didn't like it. Amen, Brother Kobe? He worked for GM until he retired. And, I mean, there, you were loyal to the company. You worked there. Today is different. And you planned your play around your work. You went to work. You had vacation time. Really, you didn't allow things really to interfere with work. Because you were looking down the road. You're looking toward the future. Today, and I've seen this happen time and time again with the younger generation, is they plan their work around their play.
Right.
And not everybody, young generation that's in here, right? Maybe you shooting at us this morning. I don't know why. No, hear what I'm saying. As a whole, if you just look at it, that's the mindset. And so we have to understand that there's a need for us to make sure that we as God's people not just live in the moment and today, but we look to the future. What is First Baptist going to be 50 years from now? First of all, I'm going to be very, very old 50 years from now. Some of y'all are looking at my hair and saying, you already look very, very old, all right? But if we don't do the things necessary for us to plan for the future generation, and I hope the sound system's back up and working, this is the way they're going to feel. Watch the screen. Okay, you get the point. And for those of you who don't know, that's my beautiful granddaughter. But anyway, we have to understand there's a need for us to lay a foundation, no pun intended, related to our foundation here at the church, but we'll get to that in a moment. But we need to lay a foundation for the future generation.
Amen.
And if we do, here's what they'll say. Watch the screen. What she's saying is, thank you.
Amen.
There's a posterity. If we do this, and we have experiences in our own life, I think about the Leon Weldons. I think about the Norris Easters. I think about the different folks in our church who have gone home to be with the Lord, Ray Mills. I think about Bob Wright. I think about Janet Hardy's parents, and I think about the number of years at First Baptist. I think about Miss Wanda Dalton. I think about Brother Dickerson. I think about these who for years laid a foundation for my generation. And if it wasn't for folks like that, I wouldn't be standing before you today as your pastor. Some of you are thinking, I'm really kind of bitter at those people. But I will tell you, my generation and those of you out here invested in my kids. And there are people in our church that invested in your kids. I look around this auditorium and I see the next generation behind my generation. My son Aaron, Jeremiah, Josh, Amanda, Ashley Rutherford. I can go around here and start just naming different names and people, young families who are here today. And they're here today because somebody cared to invest in the ministry of this church. Invest your money, invest your time, serve the Lord, a posterity to be witnessed and testified in due time. Secondly, what shall they do? They shall serve. You see, it was like the Barbara Wellmans and those who taught me the importance of following Christ and serving in the church. It was those individuals that laid the foundation. Fulton Cook. Years known him, godly man, loves the Lord. Certainly given the example of what it means to be a witness for Christ. You see, because of what Christ had done in their life, they served the Lord, gave of their time, gave of their money, and because of what they did, it invested in me, in this generation, my generation. There are young men that I grew up with that are all over this country preaching the gospel of Christ because of people, just like you. They shall serve. And then it says, verse 31, they shall declare. What shall they declare? They shall declare the righteousness of God. What God has done. And so we need to, he said they will declare his righteousness to the people. And then notice what it says. Who will be and say who are born or who is born. It says who will be born. So when you look at our theme and it says impact tomorrow, today, there's evidence throughout Scripture we can make an impact on the next generation. Amen. If we choose to.
Amen.
So there's the need, there's the next. Certainly there is the now. And that's what I want to spend the rest of my time talking about, the now. Because we know that there's some foundational issues in this place. It's not this foundation. There's no issue with this foundation. This foundation is true and it stood the test of time. But we also know that through the course of events over the past few years that there are a few issues that need to be addressed in this facility structurally. Now, before you get upset and think, look for the nearest exit, we've had engineers look at things and everything's good. You know, it's not going to fall in or anything, but there are some things that definitely need to be addressed. So there's those issues that we need to think about. And there are future opportunities that we need to understand as we have a facility that is fixed and one that presents itself as we have desired for it to present itself from the very beginning. It presents more opportunities within the community to impact the community. We've been asked by some of the schools to see about using our facilities for extracurricular meetings that they would like to have. And we want to represent, first of all, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the absolute best that we can. So there's future opportunities. Not only that, there are opportunities that present itself that will also keep the main thing, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remembering what the need is. And then the most important part, and that is that it will further God's kingdom. See, a preacher, he said, I look around and it looks like, you know, we have new people, new faces. We've had people join. It seems like to me God's kingdom is furthered. Yeah, absolutely. But I will tell you, you can get things accomplished. I use this illustration with our leadership. I've been known from time to time to do a little mechanic work on my car. About it in terms of our facility. We, you know, people say, well, preacher, the church is the people. Amen.
Yes.
The building is a tool.
Amen.
That we use. It's the building that allows us to gather corporate, to worship.
Amen.
Gives us a place where most of the time, if you're in this building, you can stay out of the rain. Ago, and it talks about things that make barriers to people coming to the gospel, coming to the light. It talks about that we need, as God's people, to do whatever we can to remove any barrier that would perhaps possible cause somebody to miss someone coming to the gospel. Now, we don't remove truth. We don't remove biblical principles. But if there are things from a pragmatic standpoint that we can deal with and address and make it to where it's absolutely the best opportunity to reach people, we should strive to do that.
Amen.
So it's about furthering God's kingdom. Because of time and the other things we need to cover this morning, let me just tell you, let me give you four things to remember. First of all, when it comes to this facility, it's not just about the foundation. Secondly, it's not just about our facility. It truly is. It's about our faith, and it's about the future.
Amen.
So when we think about this campaign, you probably would ask within, what are you talking about, Pastor? And I'm glad you're all sitting down. Okay, because this is important. We've set a goal out there of $2 million. All right? Say, well, preacher, you know, when I go and I buy buy something and I spend $2 million, I wonder what I'm going to get for that $2 million. I agree with you. That's something all of us need to understand and know. The first $1 million will go to correct the issues in this facility. Some that would say, not going to do the foundation, don't want to deal with the liability. We had others come up with different solutions that they would do, but they didn't do a full turnaround job. We had others come in that were with us in arbitration that could do the whole thing from a just fixing the foundation and the cosmetic thing. And when it came down to it, we talked to the committee, and we decided on the churches by Daniel. And the amount of money that we're already going to spend because the auditorium is going to be disrupted when we go through this process. That why not present the opportunity at that time to renovate, to update the sanctuary? That's where the other million comes. And, you know, somebody would say, well, preacher, what if we don't reach 2 million? Let's don't start there. Let's see what God will do.
Amen.
And don't ever think that there hasn't been discussion of what plan B could be, what plan C could be. There's always discussion. You've got to know our committee. There's always discussions about those things, all right? And so it's not that there, but let's don't start there. When I read my Bible, it says, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think by the power that worketh in us.
Amen.
When I think about this, I'm always reminded of an event that took place many years ago, back when we still had the house and the drive over here with the flower bed. Brother Ron was working out in a flower bed, and a white pickup truck pulls up and hands him an envelope and says, here, give this to your pastor. To my knowledge, that gentleman has never attended the church. I know there had to be some connection to the church. To this day, we kind of speculated, trying to figure out what it was, but I don't think we ever really came up with a solid answer of what the connection was to the church. I know some of you think, well, did you cash it? Did it clear? Absolutely. Who's invested in this ministry? He hasn't got there. Now, I understand that 2 million is a long way from 10,000. I understand all that. But let's don't start with a plan. I don't want any way to impugn my faith or the faith that some of you will have in this to trust what God will do.
Amen.
And we'll let God do it through his people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Some of you are there. When we talk about commitments, and there will be a commitment Sunday in a few weeks. It's a 3-year commitment, so it's not something you have to give the first Sunday. It's a 3-year commitment. And we think about it, it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take all of us being involved. You say, preacher, what if we don't raise all the money? Or we don't go into long-term debt? No. I'll answer that for you straight up. No long-term debt whatsoever.
Amen.
You know, there's been some sleepless nights knowing when the mortgage payment's coming due. We're on the downside of that one. Let's just keep it that way, all right? Amen? Amen? Let's keep it that way? All right. Come on. Stay with me. We're going to give you some information today in just a little bit. And you'll be receiving a packet in the mail that has a Q&A and other information for you. But let me tell you how it happened. The commitment that is made, yes, we're going to ask for a commitment card. We're going to ask in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, for you to write down an amount that you will commit to give. We're not going to ask you to sign your name. Okay? But here's what we're going to ask you to do. We're going to ask you to pray.
Amen.
Pray every day. Pray for this church. Pray for our mission and what we do in preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel and going out and witnessing and investing in the community. Pray that God will continue to give us opportunities to do just that.
Amen.
Pray how God can use you to impact tomorrow today. How does that look? Don't put God in a box. Don't get out your financials and look at what you got and say, well, okay, I can give you $50 and that's all I can give. Don't put God in a box. Here's what I'm challenging you to do. I'm challenging you to pray and ask God to lay an amount on your heart. And whatever amount God lays on your heart, I'm going to ask you to give every dime of it. Don't give a dime more. Don't give a dime less. Because this is a spiritual journey. It's between you and God. And then corporately, as we come together, we bring those commitments. The commitments are reason why are you doing a commitment card? It's because we need to have an idea of what we're up against, what we can do, how we can move forward, and how this is going to look. It's going to take all of it. Some people will look at that and it'd be a challenge for them to give $1,000 over 3 years. For some people, you look at it and you're going to say, well, you know what? I can give $10,000 over 3 years. Some of you look at it and say, God will lay on your heart a number that exceeds that. And then some, God will just blow your mind of what he's laying on your heart to give. But you give what God lays on your heart to give. I've had time to be praying about it for a while. I knew this was coming. Brenda and I, we've been talking about it for several weeks now. And look, God laid a number on my heart. And she began praying, and the first thing she threw out, and we weren't quite on the same page, and we just kept praying. We're on the same page. And I'll tell you. I can tell you what it is. None of your business. And I promise you, I would not ever ask you, and I've never asked this church to do anything I wasn't willing to
do. Amen.
And then what we've talked about doing is a sacrifice. And what we will do is a sacrifice. And you'll do what God lays on your heart. Each and every one of us as members of First Baptist Church, Fort Worth. So, well, preacher, what are you thinking as far as the building and how it looks? Well, the original architect gave the CAD drawings to churches by Daniel. We talked to him, and he was willing, gracious. He still had them and allowed to send them up there. And so we asked him just to do some concepts. We're not saying this is exactly how it's going to look. So don't hold us to these pictures I'm about to show you. But just to give you, just to whet your appetite a little bit, all right? So, gentlemen, go ahead and show the first picture up there. So there you have. There's some new texturing on the wall. There's some new coloring. LED lights hanging down from the ceiling, which Brother Ron says, good night, I retired at the wrong time. If they do that, that would have saved me a lot of headaches. I might have worked another 10 years if it had those lights. Go to the next slide. That just gives you a view from the platform. Go to the next slide. Another view. Go to the next slide. That's the vestibule area, the information center. identifying some spaces in there. Go to the next slide. A little bit larger seating area over to the, on that side. Go to the next slide. That just kind of gives you a view all the way across. That just gives you some idea of the potential of what can happen if we meet our goal. Here's something I would tell you. Some of you, you're going to look at some of it, and there's going to be some things that you're just not, you say, I just don't know if I like that. And some of us, different generations, we all have, because of our generational age and what we grew up, we all have different ideas. It doesn't mean your idea is bad. Doesn't mean your idea is wrong. It just means it's different. I was telling the group the other night, here's where I land. I want whatever we do in the sanctuary to be something my generation's comfortable. But I also want it to be something that my generation is uncomfortable. Get where I'm coming from? If we're going to impact tomorrow today, there's some things my generation above, and there's some things we're probably going to have to be a little uncomfortable and be okay with. So that lays the groundwork. And let me close the sermon by this. For our guests today, so I know the preacher's going to talk about raising a bunch of money today. Well, I don't think there's any action that you hear because there's a need for humanity. And it's to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you're here today, as we just